All desert dwellers, humans included, depend on the annual monsoon rain to keep this region habitable. As my guest Eric Pidlack reminds us, the name monsoon is derived from an Arabic word meaning season, so the term monsoon season is actually redundant. Eric is the science and operations officer at the National Weather Service in Tucson, which he describes as his dream job. I started our conversation by asking him to tell us what's going on with the monsoon this year.
Well, this has been an interesting summer. Back in March and April, it looked like this was going to be another big monsoon season. Everything was lining up the way we like to see it in terms of how the drought progression was going and how things were developing in Mexico. And we've had a roll. 2006, 7, and 8 have all been very active monsoon seasons here in Arizona. And even 2005 was not bad. This year, what started off like the last four have, and very active, very early, and strong, and a lot of rain started getting the flash flooding. And then it was like a switch flipped, and it really wasn't, but things started changing. And now we're starting to see a combination of the high pressure system not wanting to stay north for an extended period of time, the thing that we monitor to determine, you know, how deep of the easterly flow are we going to get to bring moisture in from the Gulf of Mexico, from Mexico itself, and from the Gulf of California. That's been starting to be weaker than average, and now the El Nino is starting to take hold. And we saw this back in late May that with an El Nino developing, that throws a monkey wrench into things. And if it develops too quickly, that can suppress the monsoon in August and even into September. And that's what we're starting to see now.
We've all heard El Nino being thrown around as a term, but let's talk a little bit about what exactly that is and how does it form.
El Nino is one of those things where everything could be blamed on El Nino, it seems, and that's obviously not true. But El Nino is something that we really got a really good understanding of in the 1970s and 1980s. And now we understand that if it's particularly strong, it can affect the weather worldwide. And what an El Nino is basically the warming of water, the tropical water over the Pacific Ocean, particularly over the eastern half of the Pacific Ocean along the equator. What that El Nino does is that you cause more thunderstorms to develop in that region, and that those thunderstorms start releasing energy into the upper levels of the atmosphere to the point where it starts affecting all sorts of things, like the jet stream patterns. It affects trade wind circulations, where the jet stream is going to want to go to places where it normally doesn't want to go because it has more energy in it. It's never hard and fast either, because an El Nino is one weather system out of several, and you could have an El Nino and a couple of other things happen to change the weather pattern again on you.
Well, how do you determine, and when I say you, I mean the folks over the National Weather Service, how do you determine when the monsoon has begun?
Back in the 1950s and 60s, where we had nothing else, we had no satellites at the time, very limited radar capability. We had weather balloons, but there were only two launched in the state. The one thing we did have reliably was dew point. We got dew point measurements from the airports, Phoenix and Tucson in particular, so we could track when the dew point got up to a certain level, the chance of thunderstorms went up. We've progressed quite a bit since the 1960s. The dew point is still useful, but the dew point is just one indicator that meteorologists use now. Satellites gone a long way to helping us track where the moisture is and where the moisture isn't. So we can have dew points in the 60s and not have rain, which is what we had in late July. Or you can have dew points in the 40s and have pretty vicious thunderstorms move through here that are associated with the monsoon circulation pattern. So the short answer is we use a lot of different indicators to say, is the monsoon here or not? But between about June 15th and September 30th, our rainfall is associated with the monsoon in one way or another. Either the high is in the right place and it brings the moisture up, or the high is suppressed, but there's thunderstorms going in Mexico and a disturbance will come along and pull the moisture up. And that can happen well into the month of September. That period from June 15th to September 30th now is a fixed monsoon season.
Well, people are definitely missing the storms this year, but how are we doing on actual rainfall so far?
Well, rainfall for Tucson, we were great until this past couple of weeks. We had a wet beginning of July, which carried us through the month. So at least on average across southern Arizona, particularly south of Tucson, rainfall for the monsoon's been average or maybe just a bit below. You go further north, though, just north of Tucson, up into Pinal County, northern Graham County, it's been below normal from the get-go. In August is a wet month, so each day we don't rain, it's harder and harder to make up deficits. So if we don't get a lot of rain here in the next 2 to 3 weeks, and unfortunately the trends don't look good, we may end up with a below average monsoon. However, when you go into September, when we have a developing El Nino, there is a risk of having a tropical storm or a tropical depression come up into Arizona. And that brings a lot of rain. You're talking about inches and inches of rain over a 2 or 3 day period. You can make up deficits in a hurry when that happens. So it's interesting, our official forecast right now for the rest of the monsoon for August is for below average precipitation. But for the monsoon as a whole, we're actually saying we're not sure because we have that September in there and we're not quite sure how the tropics are going to impact us. So it is interesting that within the past 2 days or so, 3 days or so, we've seen an increase in tropical cyclone activity in the eastern Pacific, which is an indication, one, the La Nina is now starting to affect how hurricanes and tropical storms are developing. But the more you get in that eastern Pacific, you keep rolling the dice, and all you need is a storm system along the west coast to turn the storm this way, and it's a completely different ballgame in terms of the monsoon.
So that could make up the deficit in rainfall if one hits us.
Right. Of course, if one hits us, then the risk becomes, as many people remember from 1983 here, tropical storms don't occur very often in Arizona. We get one about once every 8 or so years. But when they do come in, they bring a lot of rain in a hurry, sometimes as much as 10 plus inches of rain over a 3 day period. 1983 with Octave was probably the worst case in point. But we've done some research at the Weather Service here that tropical storms hitting Arizona also bring a wind threat. Well, a lot of people don't remember 1992. We had a tropical storm come right over Tucson with tropical storm force winds. And we actually had some wind gusts in excess of 70 miles an hour on some of the mountaintops around Tucson. That normally would have made national news, except that the following day, Hurricane Andrew hit Florida, and that was a Category 5 hurricane hitting a major metropolitan area. So Arizona at the time was small potatoes compared to what was happening out east. But we have been hit by tropical storms before, and actually we're a bit overdue. The last one to hit Arizona directly was Nora in 1997, and that did a lot of damage in the Yuma area and along the Colorado River.
Well, Eric, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. Keep watching the skies.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We've got some graphics up on the Arizona Spotlight page at azpm.org, which illustrate what Eric was talking about.